Howdy, everybody. This is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio. This is the episode 1024, and this is a special episode that we plan to bring back together some of the original hosts from Hacker Public Radio and host from Today with the Techie are as well represented. So I'll just go around the room, and everybody can say hello and introduce themselves. Jay Rulo?
Hello. Hello.
Okay, Claw2.
Hi, everyone.
Will Jason.
Hey, everybody.
And Will Jason is here representing Today with the Techie. The rest of us are all from Hacker Public Radio. And next comes Zoak, and Mrs. Zoak is with him here today.
Howdy, howdy, everyone.
Hello.
And also on the call is Paranoid Shell, who was in the Mumble server, and I kind of invited him along for moral support because I haven't had as much time as I thought I might to prepare for this episode, and I thought he might be able to think of a couple questions to throw out for discussion that I hadn't. So, hello.
Howdy, everyone, and it's always good to have another country accent in the mix.
I hadn't noticed your accent.
No, everyone's just too obsessed with mine, I know.
Well, I kind of thought we would start going around the room and asking everybody why they became a host for HPR, or again, in Will Jason's case, TWATECH. What made them decide to become a host, and how they come up with the idea for their first episode? And I'm just going to go down the list in order as I see it here in the room on the Mumble server. So let's start with Rulo, and what is it that made you record your first episode for HPR?
Well, I like Vim, and that's what I made my episode on. I only had one episode, but I use it all the time, and I didn't really see anyone else making any shows about it, so I thought I'd talk about it, and that's why I put that one up there.
Okay, and we'll go to Claw2, which, well, everyone knows is the most prolific public radio host in history, so I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about his involvement.
Thanks. Now I have to say a lot about my involvement. I was just going to do a one-liner. The first episode that I did was on Media Codecs, I think, and that was just kind of, I heard an episode of A Lot of Linux Links when Dave Yates was interviewing Stank Dog and Enigma, and I thought, wow, that sounds like a really cool project because it's a community podcast. I'd never heard of anything like that before. So I wanted to chip in and do an episode, and so I decided to do a mini-series on codecs because that was a big topic that I really, really knew a lot about, and that was about the only really hardcore technical thing that I did know about at the time, so that was kind of why I chose the topic that I chose. And after that, I just kind of kept doing episodes on anything that I wanted to talk about that didn't really fit into my own podcast. So it was kind of a combination of, I think, what it sounds like Jay Rulo's reason was, which was, well, no one else was doing something on this subject, and I like this subject, you know, kind of scratching your own itch, versus just wanting to contribute to a really cool community. I mean, that to me is one of the biggest and best parts of Hacker Public Radio, is that it's not just driven by one person. It's like everyone just making this thing happen. That's probably really, really one of the more attractive things about it for me.
Okay, and Will Jason, let's hear about your experiences back in the old days with TWATECH.
Yeah, so I started listening to BinRev Radio way back when, and thought it was really cool. Learned a ton from it, and wanted to kind of do the same thing. So I kind of started my own podcast with a couple of friends in high school, and we had a handful of episodes, but we kind of gave it up. We had other things to do, and then I heard about TWATECH and how everyone could just do an episode anytime they wanted, and was kind of interested. And at the time, I was working with a lot of simple home routers and stuff like that that you could hack. And I wanted to kind of tell other people about it.
And now we'll hear from Zoak.
And I've got to try and remember all of it. This was, I think, back at the end of sort of BIMREV and days I got, people started talking about some of this, and I was kind of like, I could do that, you know, I could do some of this stuff. And see, I'm a little, I'm not that old, really, you know, I'm in my mid-30s, but, you know, I started off with old DOS computers and things like that, and some of the things I learned about people, it's not mentioned anymore. Like, okay, for example, if you want to do cut, copy, and paste, it's, you know, Control X, C, and V, yes? Well, back in, I think it was Windows 3.1, they had a different one for Control Insert was copy, Shift Insert was paste, and Shift Delete was cut. And I'm left-handed, so I use the mouse in my left hand. That makes so much more sense. And those keyboard shortcuts cuts are still around today, but I have not seen since like DOS Edit, where they've actually mentioned them. And there's weird stuff like this, and it's like, I could do some of that. And I didn't do anything much with it, and then, you know, Twartek came through, and then it moved into HPR, and I can't remember who I was talking to. I think it was Stankdog, and he was sort of hassling everyone, saying, oh, you know, do episodes, we're doing HPR things, you got to go do this. And I recorded something on the sysinternals, and wasn't sure it sounded any good. I hate the sound of my own voice. I think my voice is really cool if you're inside my head and you hear how I sound to myself. I then hear myself on recording, and I'm just like, I really, really sound bad. I can't pronounce S's. It sounds like th, and I just hate the way I sound. So I really didn't want to record it, and I spoke to Dave Yates and said, look, Dave, can you listen to this and see what you think? And he looked at that, and he was like, oh, you're a natural, you need to do more, you sound great. And so I did the first episode my first episode for HPR, which I think was number 40. I looked it up earlier and I can't remember now. I think it was number 40. And I got some very good feedback from it, and everyone seemed to love it, and or they were just being nice to the strange English guy. And then did several more since. I'm up to I think 25 episodes or something. I don't know. I haven't done any in ages and need to do some more. So yeah. But that's sort of how I sort of fell into it, really. And I still hate the sound of my own voice. But there we go. So I'm going to stop talking now.
I think that's pretty common, though. I think a lot of us don't like the sound of our voices once we hear it played back to us.
Well, yeah, I know I'm like that. Every time I hear, every time I play one of my few podcasts and I listen, who is that awkward sounding guy? It doesn't sound anything like the voice inside my head, or at least, the one voice I talk to people about, not all the other voices. And on the subject episodes, Paranoid Shell, since you're hanging here, you owe HPR an episode. I'm channeling Ken here for a minute, and this one doesn't count.
Ah, damn.
Foiled again.
Okay. Has the procedure for since the first year of HPR and for TWATEC, today, just if somebody wants to become a host, you contact admin@hackerpublicradio.org and Ken will provide address and login for the FTP server so you can upload an episode when you're ready.
Technically, it's even easier than that. You could just call the number that they set up and it'll literally record you on the air live and dump your episode into their inbox.
Right, and that's a more recent innovation. I was just wondering, is that the way it's always been, or when you guys originally started doing episodes, did you have to email them in or submit them in another way?
As far as I can remember, we just dumped it into the FTP box that they gave us. But in order, I know that I myself, I don't know how other people did it, but I went ahead and emailed them initially and almost like pitched my story, pitched the idea that I wanted to do an episode on. You definitely get the feeling pretty quickly speaking to them that they really don't care. I mean, not in a bad way, but like they're really easygoing. Like whatever you want to do, you can do. So it was like I emailed them once to pitch the initial episodes that I wanted to do, and then after that it was just go for it, just do whatever you want.
Yeah, the first couple I think I actually emailed to Enigma, and then it was just like, look, just stick it on the FTP. Here's the username and login. Just do that. It's easier. And then from then, obviously, I think that I've been around from beforehand. It's just I didn't know it, so I was emailing him for the first couple. But no, it's kind of odd. It really hasn't changed. I mean, some of the names of the people involved has changed, but it's still, if you're that interested and want to put the time in to make an episode, someone's going to want to listen to it. We'll take it. So I don't think it's actually changed that much. Like I said, there's a few different names that are getting involved with doing some of this, but it's still, it's open for everyone, and still just sticking on the FTP. There are some easy ways now, like as mentioned, the phone, but I don't remember it being much different, really.
And I think that's one of the things that Stankdog has always said, that HPR should sort of be a living and breathing entity, a guess, apart from any one or any group of people. You know, it should just kind of be there that is sustained by a community, whoever it could be rotating members of community. I mean, I myself have not done an episode in months now. So, I mean, the fact that it continues to go on, you know, without Enigma, without me, without Stankdog, without Ken, I mean, he doesn't really do anything. I mean, he does everything, but he doesn't do a whole lot, you know? I mean, it shouldn't matter who's in, who's at the helm. It should just keep going.
Okay, I wanted to throw a few comments in here that I probably should have done at the top. I wanted to remind listeners, of course, we've been talking about for a couple of months in various forms of the lineage of Hacker Public Radio and how it came to be, and I'm probably the last person to give the definitive explanation of that, but not everybody who would hope to be able to join us was able to today. But the Lint, of course, Stank Dog started BinRev Radio a while back, a few years before HPR even came to be. And at the same time, there was another podcast dealing with sort of phone freaking and security issues and just general events in the open source world, which was Radio Freak America. And if you really, all these older podcasts that came before HPR, I think anybody who's listening will enjoy going back and grabbing those old episodes. Of course, BinRev is still at www.binrev.com, and Radio Freak America, and I'm bringing it up here on the other screen because I just had it open. Okay, and of course, today with the techie, you know, I should really write stuff down instead of looking through 50 open windows. Yes, RFA, Radio Freak America, is at www.oldschoolfreak.com. So it's oldschoolfreak.com. And all the old episodes are still there, and I had a pretty good day while I was working yesterday listening to some of the back episodes of RFA that I download random. And of course, just this week, Ken put up an episode himself into the HPR feed. This week is, as we're recording this, a couple weeks ago, as you folks will be listening to it. But between our real time and the virtual time when this is going to actually appear in the feed, I believe Ken had planned several more episodes from the old shows and from the early days of HPR to give everybody a sense of history and homage to what's happening with this network. But yeah, I had never really spent that much time. Well, I hadn't listened to RFA before the last couple days. And guys, do yourself a favor. Those are hilarious. So just go point your browser at www.oldschoolfreak.com and download all the episodes. Snake Dog had this idea for, well, let me go to the last episode, the last couple episodes of RFA. They talked about starting a podcast called Hacker Public Radio. Now, Stank Dog can explain it better himself. If you go back to the very first episode of HPR, HPR 0001, and listen to that, he has the concept or explains the origins of HPR. As I understand the way he said it, he originally meant it as more of a debate series that you would line up people on two sides of an issue, kind of like the Great Tech Debate on another network. From the way you understand it, that concept sounded fairly similar. But as it turned out, they actually started the community contributed with no fixed host podcast format with Today with a Techie. That's over at twatech.org, twatech.org. And those episodes are very, very much, if you're a fan of HR, go back and grab those, because almost all of them, the tech episodes, it's like going back and listening to Linux Reality. Just about everything in there, even if it's a tech issue, it's still valid today, because we're all still working on the Unix-like operating system, and at the core, not too many things have changed. So go grab those episodes. You know, I'm going to quit rambling now and let somebody else talk a minute. Does anybody else have anything to chime in about the lineage and history of our network?
just apart from I feel a young upstart kid for considering, you know, I'm coming into HPR. And, you know, I was there fairly early on, but it's still, you've got the Radio Free America and the BinRev. I don't think you ever said BinRev stands for Binary Revolution, but the BinRev and Twartek and all these things, and I feel that, you know, coming in fairly new to this stuff, where when surrounded by all these older people, that it was just, we're the young upstart kids and the rest of them are the old timers.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of, I don't know, I mean, we got a chance with HPR, because I think a lot of us, or, I mean, certainly you and me, Zoke, apparently, and I know Lord Drakenblut and a few other people that I've talked to, were audience members of BinRev Radio and shows like that, where we'd heard this stuff, and we just thought it would be so cool to do that, to be one of those people that other people are listening to, via podcasting, you know, and Hacker Public Radio just kind of gave us this platform and said, hey, if you want to be one of us, join in. You know, you're able to do that. I really think that's cool. I mean, I know that for me, I could have wallowed away in complete just random me talking into a microphone on my own little show that maybe 30 people listen to, and then suddenly Hacker Public Radio comes along and it's just like everyone listens to it and I get to be just like Stank Dog, you know, talking and every week and doing a show. It just felt, I don't know, it felt like you get a free level up, you know? It's kind of cool.
I have to agree.
I was going to say, it's a bit like the band fan that gets invited up on stage to play with the band.
Well, the great thing about HPR, I've always thought, is you don't have to arrange for your own hosting and set up a website and hope people are going to come around, start listening to your episodes, and you're not under the pressure to come up with a weekly episode. And yeah, Jay Rulo reminded me in the chat that I said the TWATEC address wrong. I didn't even realize it. It's TWATECK.org. So I apologize on that.
Wait, K? H? Did you say K?
Did I say K again? TWATECH.org.
That was well said.
There is no K. And I should have mentioned, of course, also in that history is the Infonomicon Computer Club, which doesn't have a podcast, but I think it would be, that I know of, but I think it would be fascinating if they did.
There's also hackermedia.org, and I thought that was part of the end of BinRev and the beginning of HPR TWATEC, where they put an aggregator together, and now it aggregates all kinds of stuff. That's a good place to find new shows tech-related.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. And if you go to the About on the HPR page, you'll find I think, all of those links included. And I'd also want to give a shout out to some of the guys who helped me at least make sure the message got out to all the people who were involved in those early shows. Of course, I was able to contact most of the hosts from HPR and TWATEC directly by email, but the guys from RFA, Rax, and Dual Parallel, I didn't have the contact information for them, but I understand Stank Dog did contact them. I want to thank Stank, because when planning for this episode, I relied on him quite a bit. Also, Lord Drakenblut, who wasn't able to be here today, he gave me a lot of the history, which I totally messed up in my rambling, and also passed the message along to some people, and Risk Free from TWATEC and Infonomicon. I think he helped me get the message out to a lot of those people who I didn't have direct addresses for. So, and probably everybody else since I'm a complete newcomer, well, I wouldn't say complete, but as far as a contributor to APR, my first episode was only a little over a year ago. So compared to the rest of these guys, I am a neophyte. And so I wanted to thank all the people I didn't mention that helped me in preparation for the episode. Okay, my next question was going to be, of course, Klaatu already had his own series when he started with HPR, but does anybody have some interesting or funny stories from sort of the trials and tribulations of getting started as a podcaster?
I kind of have a funny story. My one and only episode that I contributed to HPR was about hacking Sprint voicemail, and I kind of came across the bug, I guess, that Sprint was doing, in which if you sent a caller ID to any number that you were calling, that Sprint just interpreted that as you were wanting to access voicemail. And I thought it was really cool, and I did a podcast and submitted it, and it turned out like 3 years prior that had already been discovered. But I was really, really happy that I found out something on my own. And that's one of the reasons I made that episode to begin with.
Well, that's kind of the whole spirit of hacking, and I don't mean, of course, everybody who listens to the network knows we don't mean hacking as in the connotation of looking for an unauthorized access, but taking software, taking equipment, and looking through it and seeing what's there that isn't documented. So even if that was out there, just don't think that at all invalidates the fact that you were able to find it on your own.
Yeah, and I don't want to condone hacking or any illegal activity. It was something I stumbled across while configuring my own Asterisk server at the time, and it was just kind of cool to know. I think it's since fixed, but at the time, you would think within 3 years, Sprint would have fixed their problem.
Not necessarily. You know how some of the phone companies are. And it's down to whether they get bad publicity, I think. If they do, they'll fix it straight away. If not, they won't. There was, I can't remember what it was, Microsoft bug that had been around for years, and someone had found about it and told them about it. They hadn't done anything. It wasn't until he went to one of the, I forget which convention it was, DEF CON or something, or the Black Hat Conference, and did a talk about it. Then they suddenly wanted to fix it.
Well, one of the random RFAs that I picked up yesterday and listened to, Stank was a guest, I guess he often was, and he was talking about how a couple researchers, I think college kids probably from the way they talk, their college was going to the proprietary Blackboard software for everything, and it was including key cards for the rooms, your meal plan, the snack bar in the commissary or the snack machines, and how these kids had come up with, they had found what they thought were some security flaws and wanted to bring that to, they were going to do a project on it or a presentation to bring those flaws to the attention of the university before a decision was made on whether just absolutely everything was going to be moved over to the system, and they were shut down under the Digital Millennium Act, that they couldn't do a presentation criticizing a piece of proprietary software. And just so the Blackboard people, I'm sure if you're out there listening, this was years and years ago, so whatever flaws there were, I'm sure have been fixed by now, so shouldn't be taken as an attack on you guys now. It's just an observation that porting in the same vein has been going on for quite some time. So if you go back and listen to some of those old bin revs and RFAs and TWATECs, you can see where not a lot of stuff has changed. Okay, why don't I open it up to the floor? Does anybody have any questions that they would like to address to the panel?
$5 per question. Please pay in advance of receiving the... Oh, no, wait, never mind.
For all the ones who do have a lot, I've already done many. Have you ever got past the nervousness of doing a show, or do y'all still get nervous?
Question for Klaatu, I guess, because he's done the most.
I don't think I ever got nervous. For some reason in school, like in film school, they had us do a lot of sort of getting in front of the class and pitching story ideas and all these sort of public kind of speaking things. And so I had to do it in school. And one time I was just like, I'm either going to stop being nervous about this or I'm going to just quit school. And basically I did both. I stopped getting nervous and I also dropped out of school, but both were great things to do. And I can talk in front of people as long as it's groups or wide audiences. I can do that without getting nervous. The one-on-one conversations I get really nervous about, but as long as I think a lot of people are going to hear me, I'll just talk and talk and talk, never get nervous. So I didn't, I got past the nervousness, but by the time I started podcasting, I wasn't nervous. I'd already gotten past the nervousness.
I'm a little different. I I'm way more nervous in this because it's a free-for-all talking stuff, and you know, if I say the wrong word, screw up, and it's like, oh no, it's now on like 8 different people's recording, which is bad. But I was never that worried about recording stuff myself. I would record it and it would be fine when I was recording it. I'd listen back to it and I'd be fine. And at the moment I was about to hit send on like the first email sent off for the first episode, and I think that took me about half an hour to actually hit send on that email. I got really nervous then. It's like, you know, people are going to hear me, people are going to just... And, you know, I mean, I think most of us have had a similar sort of childhood, that we're not necessarily the extroverts, we're more of the ones that people pick on a little. And I don't mean like physically beaten up and stuff, but it's always, you're the one that sort of, if there's the butt of a joke, you're going to be the butt of a few of the jokes at school and things. So I did get a little nervous for the first episode, because it was, you know, I'm used to being that one, you know, there's always something about this guy. It was, you know, when I was at school, for example, I hit puberty early, so I had hairy arms and legs. I still have hairy arms and legs. Not quite the Robin Williams sort of level, but I have fairly hairy arms and legs. And there were some other people who, I mean, it's the English school system, so it's different, but I guess you would call them jocks over here, would be like, oh, you know, hey dude, why didn't you shave your arms and legs, kind of thing. And I wouldn't say they made a huge amount of fun of me for it, but it was pointed out that I had hairier legs than other people. And that was just, looking back now, it's kind of like, what a stupid, retarded thing to make fun of. So, hey, you're growing up faster than me, and I've still got a high-pitched voice, but I'm going to make fun of you for... No, I don't know. So that was kind of a weird one, but I wouldn't say flashbacks from that, but I got a little nervous from recording it and trying to record some of these things. And like, what if I say something wrong? Am I going to get a bunch of... Because you've seen the YouTube videos of someone mentions something wrong, and there's a billion people saying, like, you're an idiot, you're wrong, you're stupid, and I was more worried about that. And then, like I said, again, I'd like to thank Dave Yates, because I sent him a copy of my first episode I did first, and he was just enthralled by it. And at the time, yeah, Dave Yates was this, he's done all these podcasts, and you know, he was like the man, kind of. Well, okay, there's a bunch of other people as well, but he was like the approachable one, I felt, and he really helped me on that. And I should probably end this by saying, well, you know, no, since I've done all these more episodes, I stop rambling on like a complete idiot, bringing up school childhood dreams and issues that I had, and I'm now the well-rounded example of a podcaster that you see before you now.
I think you make a good point, though, Zoke, that people in this community are very... maybe it's because we all had, like you said, a similar sort of experience in, you know, growing up and stuff, or maybe it's just because that's how we are. I really don't know, but it seems like it's a very accepting community. And that might be part of why, for instance, I wasn't nervous when I started submitting episodes. It just seems like people aren't going to make fun of you. People are like okay with whatever you say and how you say it, stuff like that. So I don't know. I think that's one of the many things that I love about the geek community is that we are all very accepting. We don't seem like a very judgmental group. You know, it seems like a very sort of like, come in, do what you want. Everyone's cool. No one has a problem with anyone else. I like that environment a lot.
Oh, definitely. I mean, part of the thing is you just hear my voice. You can make certain judgments about, or your guesses about my voice based on how I talk, but you know, you don't know anything about a person apart from their voice. You don't know the color of their skin, their sexual preferences, their religious preferences. I mean, all these kinds of things, and none of it seems to matter. And 5150 is having audio issues, so we may.
Good thing we're recording.
Yeah, good thing the rest of us are recording, which is actually what we said before we started recording, that he wanted everyone to record, but. Sorry, so see, you don't know anything about, I mean, okay, you know I've got a wife, Mrs. Zoke here, but if I didn't give you that permission to know that, then Jay Ruler just says he knew that I was hairy by the sound of my voice.
I think that was a compliment, I'm not sure.
But it's more of like, it's more things like Kajari. We've been talking to Kajari for months and months in IRC, and you happened to mention one time, oh yes, I'm blind, and you know, we didn't know that, we didn't treat him any different because of it. He was just a person who we would talk to, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're a lot more accepting, because a lot of this stuff, it doesn't matter. And I do still remember the I've forgotten the name of it now, but it's the Hackers Manifesto. That's not the Hackers Manifesto, but everyone calls it the Hackers Manifesto. And it has the line about, we exist without... I really ought to find it... To quote it correctly, but it was talking about how we avoid, you know, we avoid all this stuff. You know, we exist without skin color, without nationality, without religious bias, and I think that's a good thing. And I'm glad to be part of this community that can look beyond all this. You know, I mean, you know, do we care that Klaatu is an alien? Do we care that do we care that I'm English? You know, do we care about any of the stuff? It's just, are you a nice guy? Do you know what you're talking about? You know, do you have something to input? And, you know, do you have something to add to the discussion? Yes, then come on in. And, you know, I think the community as a whole and the podcast, Hack Public Radio specifically, it does exemplify that, you know, I've never felt... I had one bad comment on one episode I did, which is an episode we had our power disconnected because they wouldn't let me pay the power bill because it's in my wife's name. And go figure, it was very bizarre. It's like, I've got an old
bill.
That's
not why it was disconnected. That's why we couldn't. That's a long story. I have a stupid mail carrier, by the way. Or he did.
Well, yeah. They said that we'd moved. And anyway, long story. But basically, we'd lost power. And it reminded me about, you know, being disconnected from the internet and all that. And I did an episode called Being Powerless About It. And someone put a comment on about how... I forget exactly how they phrased it. But basically saying there was a flood somewhere. And I bet all the people would love to hear this episode because, you know... I was making a choice about being without power and they didn't, and I was an idiot, basically. I can't remember exactly how they phrased it, but that was the one bad comment I've actually had about an episode I've done. Okay, your turn, Klaatu.
Thinking.
Are you running on a Mac again?
No, of course not.
No, he's on Slackware, so it's a little bit older than most.
It's not old? What are you talking about?
Oldest living distro.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. I thought you meant I was out of date or something.
No, you just got to download the packages and compile, and then you'll be back up and working.
Well, I think the community actually inherits the unbiased attitude that maybe we inherit from communicating so much via, you know, IRC and faceless podcast shows. Because, I mean, the technical conventions that I go to, Southeast Linux Fest, Ohio Linux Fest, B-Sides, all these places, it's like the same spirit, you know. It's just like people don't really care about what you look like or what you sound like or whether you talk or whether you're really quiet and introverted. They just don't care. It's just like people gather around, they know that they all have a common interest, maybe a couple of common goals, and it's very non-judgmental. I mean, Paranoid Shell was just at Southeast Linux Fest. How did you feel about, like, the community there?
Oh, yeah, it felt nice. I enjoyed the people. I can talk to some seem awkward. I know I was awkward, so I can't really blame them either, but it was really fun talking to you and all the other people that were there.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's a refreshing thing to be around other people who can be awkward, because it's like, yes, I'm awkward sometimes. Right now, I'm the one carrying this conversation and feeling confident, and this person is awkward, and we're all okay with that. You know, we're all okay with our mutual social awkwardness, and I don't know, that's refreshing. And I guess, I don't know, somehow that's embodied within Hacker Public Radio as well.
So, come record an episode of Hack Public Radio and be socially awkward with the rest of us.
Exactly.
That could be the new tagline.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm back in.
Welcome back.
Klaatu says we need a new in the chat, and while I'm thinking of that, I just wanted to respond to the last thing I heard Zoke say when my system kicked me out a couple minutes ago. First, Zoke, I am not editing for content, so whatever. And if I were to edit this episode for content, I would delete all the parts where I'm speaking and stumbling all over stuff. And as far as the body hair, at least I knew one guy in college that we called the Hobbit because he had hair on the tops of his feet. And third, I think
normal.
And the third thing about the social aspect of HPR and the entire community on IRC over in Oddcast Planet on Freenode and all the other podcasts, and listening to podcasts is just that I think in our daily lives most of us don't have anybody we could talk to about technology that would have the slightest idea what we're talking about. So it's just everybody getting together and finding like-minded people, and especially things like using the Mumble server where we can actually talk to each other rather than typing messages back and forth and joining a podcast and becoming more tightly integrated with the community in that way. So I know HPR and the greater open source community in general is now a big part of what I look forward to being involved with. So, and where I find a lot of the people that I just sit down and rap with. So that's kind of my input on that subject.
The topic I was going to add was, why did 5150 leave when he's supposed to be hosting? I didn't think like you were going to come back.
Well, that was... You're still broadcasting, Shell.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't seem to want to stop. That's all.
So you know, when I have a technical glitch, I get scolded for it.
Yes, you do.
Okay, you're off now. No, what happened, for some reason, my laptop, it used to work great with Fedora back the first of the year. I used it for the New Year's Eve episode, and then an update, it no longer wants to see my USB headset, and everybody tells me I sound terrible on the analog headset, so I've got one of my old towers fired up to run Mumble, and the front ports on the tower don't really work, so I've got an extender cable plugged into my USB so that I don't have to crouch right on down on top of the computer to be able to talk into the headset, and the junction between the extender cable and the USB cable for the headset's right down there around my feet. And of course, you would not believe the tangled cables on my desk if you were here to see it. So I was kind of flipping around the cable one way and another way subconsciously because it was kind of hung up to get some more space. And I think I just jiggled that junction between the two USB cables, and suddenly the audio went off. And that's why I had to go reboot to get the device back.
Well, I just wanted to say that while I scolded you, my computer must have had pity on you and wanted to haywire on me.
Yeah, so now I won't even hear the whole show until I get, you know, I had to quit my recording. That's the other thing I should have done. I should restart the recording, but I am going to have to get the whole show from one of you guys who's recording so I can edit it.
the remaining four of us that are recording.
Right, well, now I'm glad I mentioned that, so otherwise we would have lost a chunk of the show.
Now, someone would have started recording at the end and just spliced the rest together.
Well, that's kind of how the New Year's Eve after show came to being. Pokey said, I've been up for 18 hours, I'm going to bed, and then I just hit record and caught that last bit, so that's perfectly acceptable to catch the end. I know a lot of shows that have been saved that way. And for those of you listening, yes, you are now listening to the Tilt's technical glitch that we're trying to fix in progress report.
Speaking of other shows, what are some shows that you guys have found just from listening to Hacker Public Radio?
I've just been catching up on that the last week too, and they're just incredible. I've been going through the shows that I've been introduced to by Ken's Syndicated Thursday, you know, Sunday Morning Linux Review, I've had more time to listen because when I'm working, I've been doing a lot of farm work recently. I just finished harvest, and that's the main time, because when I'm moving from one task to another, I always forget to put on my headphones and start listening to podcasts, and I get way behind. But when I'm on the farm equipment, just kind of like your 64 on it on his mower, and I'm there for hours on end, it makes it pretty quick to get caught up, because that's what I do, is put on the headset and listen. So yeah, I mean, there's so many to mention. I don't want to slight anybody from the syndicated section, and of course you've heard me go on this podcast, you know, definitely Today with the Techie, and for the technical information, all of that is still valid RFA. A lot of that stuff might be a little dated, but those guys are just hilarious. Dual Parallel and the Bland Inquisitor, who must have been a frequent guest because I've caught him on two that I've picked at random, and of course Stank Dog. Just go back and listen to those guys.
I think I found, the Sunday, Linux Sunday Morning Review I found through HPR. I hadn't known about that. But then also, I got reminded of Krivins, like Paranoid Shell mentioned. And then I also got, Paul.com, believe it or not. I'd never heard of that until I started listening to HPR. I don't remember who or why that was mentioned, but I'm pretty sure I found out about that through HPR.
Yeah, I always hear about that. Somebody mentioned Security WoW, and then somebody says, no, don't bother with that. Go listen to Paul.com instead.
Yeah, I listened to a few of Paul.com's, and I don't know quite why, I just have the ones I happen to listen to, but the ones I listen to, they spent all their time talking about how shit Security Now was and not actually doing anything else. So
yeah,
I sort of stopped listening to them because it's like, really? Can we just... I mean, okay, I get you don't like it. And, you know, I do listen to Security Now, and yeah, the ads are annoying, and sometimes wish they'd shut the hell up and, you know, talk about something else, but you know, I don't care about how wonderful you think the new Ford Sync is and how it will record where you crashed and died, Leo Laporte, or whatever it was, anyway. But it was just very, you know, I'd like to get some information from the show.
Oh, and another one, I'm going to mention one that I haven't even listened to yet. Because I listen to HPR, I found Krivins, and because I found Krivins, I found that Kevy is just brilliant, brilliant in finding open source music to play on that show. They usually do three, usually more rock and roll, but there are some other genres in there as well, and just some great music that he picks out. So just yesterday, I set my downloader to get the entire library of Tux Jam. Of course, it's Kevy's podcast on Unseen Studios. So I would encourage anybody who likes music to try that out too.
I always like plugging Krivins because the last few episodes I've been joining in.
And Lord Drakenblut has just joined us in progress. Hello, Lord D.
Wow.
Well, I think he backed off because he saw Klaatu trying to talk at the same time. Well, can you hear us, Lord D?
I can hear you fine, but I'm on Android client, so hopefully that's not causing too many issues.
A little loud and a little... Look, it sounds like you're doing a Dave Yates and driving down the road.
But why, in fact, I am.
Hence the Android client. But we can hear you, if a little loud. I don't know whether there's a setting to turn that down a bit.
Well hopefully if I just hold the phone a little further away, it'll be a little better.
I was going to say, let's not encourage him to fiddle with his Android phone while he's driving.
Obviously, I meant at a stop sign when he is stopped, and yeah. I'm not too happy about the whole bit where you said, I'm going to hold the phone away from me a bit.
Well, I've found with exploit clients of any nature on Android phones, it seems that it makes the mic a lot more sensitive. So I've got a headset plugged into my ear and the phone, and holding the phone a little bit away, so hopefully it'll take care of me spiking so loud in people's ears.
I'm more worried about you spiking into something on the road, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, because I'm glad you stepped in, Lord D, because I've made my own poor little attempt. What I've found out from talking to you and Stank over the past few months and some other folks attempting to explain the lineage and the history of Hacker Public Radio, and really probably best if I don't ask you to do a dissertation on the history of the network while you're driving. But do you have any little background stories that would be interesting that... about the origins of BinRev and TwaTech and RFA, that, you know, the untold stories, sort of thing that we wouldn't know about from actually listening to the podcast?
Well, like you said, RFA is actually a really good place to start, and for people who may not know, that's Radio Freak America, spelled with freak, spelled F-R-E-E-K as in free knowledge. And they actually got their inspiration from Hacker Mind, if I remember right. It's been several years, so. But that project started, Dual Parallel started RFA, and then out of RFA came a few shows, some of them still actually running that I'm aware of. One that people may not even make the connection to is actually Games and More Entertainment Radio, and BinRev Radio were the two shows that kind of spawned off of that. C4 got the inspiration to do game radio from RFA, and Stank was actually a guest on RFA along with a gentleman who went by the name Wintermute, and they spun off of there and started BinRev is the start of things.
Okay, I'm glad you cleared that up, because I spent yesterday listening to some random RFA episodes that I'd pulled down, and on most of them, Stank was a guest, but I didn't realize that he didn't start BinRev concurrently to RFA, so that's interesting that's where Stank got his start as a guest on RFA.
And to fill a little bit more story with RFA and HBR, it jumps ahead a little, but this is kind of where it fills in at the same time. Towards the end of the run of RFA, I don't remember if it was Rax who originally proposed the name, but the name for Hacker Public Radio actually did spawn out of Radio Freak America, and it was their idea of kind of an homage to National Public Radio, but centering more on tech and hacker news and culture.
Am I the only one who 5150 is breaking up really bad on, or is it me having the issue?
No, it seems to be everyone. We've already confirmed it through the text chat.
Okay. Well, another little piece of the puzzle that kind of needs filled in here is before TwaTech started, and that's today with the techie, Droops from the Infinomicon Computer Club had started another little project that was called Podvert. And only a few shows came out of that. There were Ninja Night School was one of the graduates of that program. I had actually done a couple episodes through Podvert at one time. And Podvert, the idea was podcast fertilizer. And if I remember right, it was kind of a joke on things like...
Nord, you totally cut off. Are you still there? Anybody got suggestions for filler?
Not off the top of my head.
I think what 5150 was trying to say is that they went from TwaTech to Hacker Public Radio also because some of the publishers, I guess, felt that it was not a very women-friendly name, which is pretty true, I think.
Sorry about that, guys. Where did I drop off?
Pod Fertilizer. You were talking about the name, and you cut off there. And cut off again.
Can you guys hear me any better now, or am I still breaking up?
Sound good at the moment.
That podcast fertilizer, because a lot of shows were nothing more than organic fertilizer. So it was a place where people could come, create shows, test the waters out, or they kind of, you know, fully invested themselves in the idea.
Well, I think it's interesting Jay brought up, you know, back in...
It's doing good again, Jason.
And everyone dives on the mic at once.
Yes.
And I think Lou mentioned it, but yeah, part of the reason that TWAT changed its name to HPR had everything to do with there were some females who, under the TWA tech name, were contributing, but there were more than a few who expressed an interest in the project, but just refused to be involved because of the name.
Yeah, I'm a you know, white guy in my between the age of sort of 18 and 40 or whatever it is. So, but I just thought it was a silly name, you know, making fun of the twit people because hey, we're twit and we're twat sort of thing. And it was, I never thought more about it than that really. But I can see where some people could have a problem with that.
And just kind of a weird side note, TWAT name, there is a podcaster named Violet Blue who Leo Laporte managed to run his mouth about her one time, and she had joked about starting a show called TWAT Tech to kind of go against his male-oriented twit network.
That is kind of funny, but Leo Laporte does make some mistakes on air, like the certain Google chat messages that he shouldn't have released, but he just happened to have in the background.
But any other questions, the background in history that I could try to fill in, just kind of from what I know of things?
At what point did you get started with the network, Lord D?
I actually had done, like I said, a couple shows, Podfert, which you can find on audio.textfiles.com. So I've kind of been around the whole thing since, you know, Podfert, the inception of HPR. For a brief little while, I was an admin, but I was having problems in my life, and so the mantle got passed over to Enigma, if I remember right.
Okay, I was kind of under the impression that Enigma had been involved from a very early point, so I guess that's good to know you preceded him.
Well, he was involved with the project from very early on. It was just I was the admin before him for a brief moment of time.
And for those listeners who haven't gone back and or haven't been listening to HPR for a while, of course, now it's Ken Fallon who is contributing most to the organization of Hacker Public Radio and out there prodding all of us to get our episodes done and in. But before him, if you've heard us mention before on this podcast, before Ken, that was kind of a nameless job.
But, you know, it's been really interesting watching HPR start out as, you know, back in the TWA, you know, tech days, as, you know, just a spinoff, kind of a goofy spinoff in all reality, of the Twit Network. And if you count the TWA tech episodes and the HPR episodes, that, you know, we're kind of running neck and neck with a lot of the really old podcasts for episodes counts. One of the ones I'm aware of that has the most episodes is a show called Keith and the Girl, and they're at 1,600 plus episodes. So, you know, 300 episodes behind them, considering all the problems that had popped up along the way, we're not too far behind some of the, you know, founders of all of this. Or the pioneers, I guess, would be a better term.
Of course, they might say that we're cheating because we're on a weekday release schedule rather than once a week, I think, when he was doing it.
Keith and the Girl is a daily show. They've only missed in their history about a week or two worth of days if you don't include their like holiday breaks they take around Christmas.
Well, then I'm even more impressed with HPR that we can catch up with some of the original podcasts that are on a daily schedule.
And especially considering the fact that shows like Keith and the Girl, anything on the Twit Network, there is not a consistent single person on all these shows. The fact that the community comes out and supports this and drives it so much is really the incredible thing that, you know, it's something that started out as kind of a prank on Leo Laporte has become something so big.
And that was a question that came to my mind, and I don't know if Lord D might be able to answer it. I don't know if anybody else would. Are we unique in that way in podcasting that this is a series that anybody can come and contribute to? You can come in and do one episode and never be heard from again, or I think we're sort of unique that way in our open source community, but just out there in the, and I don't listen to too many podcasts outside that community, but is there anything else out there, anything like Hacker Public Radio?
I've looked, listened to right now about 50 shows at any given time, and I have never found anything similar to Hacker Public Radio.
And I'd like to take that opportunity to give a shout out to all the contributors, not just the ones in this show who represent first year, but through the entire history of TWATech and Hacker Public Radio. That's what keeps the network going, is everyone taking the time to contribute and send in their show. So this is not just for the folks here in the room or the folks who were invited from the predecessor shows and for the first year of Hacker Public Radio, but this is a big congratulations to all of us for making it to this milestone.
I think it is a wonderful milestone. And Lord D's having issues connecting, it seems.
I mean, if you have Kyandra modes when this releases, sorry about that. Any better?
Yes.
Yeah, that is.
Okay. Well, if you look at it, between TWA Tech and HBR, when this episode releases, we're at 1,324 episodes. So that's pretty impressive for people just contributing whenever they feel like or can.
Okay, yeah, that I've been saying 30 episodes of TWA Tech all day, and I know that had to be wrong because I've got the page open looking at the contributors, and there's more contributors than that. So it was an even 100 episodes.
No, it was 300 episodes before it transitioned to HPR.
Okay, so I lost a zero entirely. I was going back to your comment on the show 1000. I should part of the fog in my brain, I guess. So I apologize if the TWA Tech contributors listening and felt slighted in hearing me say 30 all afternoon instead of 300.
Yeah, I doubt anyone feels slighted.
Well,
and just speaking of other shows. Go ahead, 5150.
Yeah, sorry, but I was just going to point out, well, for all the folks from the other podcasts who are listening, and thanks for listening, 1,324 is the mark you have to shoot at, and while you're doing that, we're going to start working towards 2,324.
Or better yet, 2,600.
I would nominate that set our next milestone at 2,600 combined.
Oh, I was just thinking that would be great, and you guys who are more into the exploit and defense against exploits research, I'm going to put it on you guys instead of on me to come together on that episode.
Just one bit of warning: if you decide to play the 2600 hertz tone during that episode, please be careful the volume level you set it at.
Why? What would that blow up?
Your eardrums.
Well, couldn't that be said for anything at a particularly loud volume?
Just from my experience with an older show, and it was called F-Bill Radio, they had done an episode where they played the 2600 hertz tone between each little segment they did, and they played it at the exact same volume level as they recorded themselves at, and it just comes out far louder for some reason.
It's kind of a piercing resonant frequency. I think we ought to just release an episode of just that tone. 30 seconds of 2600 tone.
That'd be great.
Just like, boo! That'd be just fantastic. And I know that wasn't anywhere near 2600. That was just, yeah. I'm no good at whistling a particular
tone.
You're
not pitch perfect?
No.
Okay.
Well, if you want to complete the gag, you'll have to insert the blue note in the middle.
Again, I'm not going to try and whistle that one either. Not that I was whistling before anyway, but, you know.
Okay, we lost Lord D. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to come, if he's coming back, but I just wanted to pass around and see any other any other topics that we want to hit.
I don't know. I'm just here on the panel, you know, if anyone wants to ask any questions they can, but I don't think of anything specifically. Klaatu, any questions or thoughts?
No, neither a question nor thought.
One thing I did want to ask, and this is probably going to be a brief one, how has the recording hardware and software changed drastically since 2008, some of you guys that did it before? I mean, Audacity's been updated, but it's every version I've had the opportunity to play with is kind of sort of the same. Was it back in the olden days, was it more of a hassle to get a show recorded? Did you have include more things or know more about the equipment, or is it just about the same as it is today?
I think audio recording has been the same for the past 50 years, probably. I don't think there's been a substantial change. And even if there has been, there's that famous example of that one guy who recorded an episode. Maybe it was of TWA Tech, but he recorded it by plugging his headphones into his microphone jack, and he actually used his earphones as the microphone. That was pretty brilliant. So I don't know. I think it's pretty easy to get an episode out there.
Yeah, and I remember that story now, and I forget who it was who said they did that myself.
I mean, I haven't used anything quite that exotic, but I mean, I've recorded on lots of different things. I think I've recorded on my Nokia N800, a Sansa Fuse, maybe one or twice, just a normal USB microphone, a USB microphone headset, directly into the microphone of the laptop. You know, it's just, I don't know, early on, I think Stankdog with Bin Rev, and even his early HPR episodes, I think I remember one on the Nintendo DS modding cartridges or something like that, homebrews. Like, the sound quality on his stuff was always just so marvelously bad and just so compressed, and I've always really aimed to get that poor of quality of audio for all of my audio work.
I think he was doing 16-bit or something. It always sounded like he was in a tunnel, which was really neat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how he did it, but it sounded horrible and great.
I think at that time, everybody had a hard time downloading big files, so he kind of figured he probably had to do that.
I mean, I respect that totally. I think that's great.
Well, the only story I have like that is the episode 1000. Like I said, I'm recording on this old computer, and it's not performing very well since I rebuilt it, because it's the one that will recognize my USB headset, and I tried several times, and it crashed to record just a little intro that I did for episode 1000, so I moved back over to the laptop with the analog headset, but I realized after the show was published, when I did it that day, I never plugged in the plug for the boom mic on the headset, so it must have picked it up from the built-in mic on the laptop itself, and I had several comments that was the best audio I ever did.
I think that the microphones on laptops are hit or miss. It's kind of...
One kind of interesting or funny moment I can remember popping up from HPR, I have to have a little bit of background. There's a guy who's a part of the Infonomicon Computer Club who's going to name John Dock. And last I knew, he was still a listener of HPR, but when the episode with Jane Dock came out about medical software, open source medical software, and that she was looking for people, the first thing I got on the horn I did was get on the horn to John Dock saying how kind of cool I thought it was to see that his significant other had, you know, contributed to HPR, and he just kind of fires back, "I don't know who she is. Just some random woman who popped up and did an episode by the name of Jane Dock."
And Claude, you were here. Sorry, I was going to invite you to continue your story, and then I walked on you.
Well, that's okay. I think it's better to bounce off of what Lord Drakenblut just was talking about. I was going to say that I kind of really enjoy the one-off episodes, actually. I always feel like I want to hear more from that one random person who did that one random show, or those one or two random shows. But at the same time, it's like, it's really nice variety, you know, and that's what I value about HPR a lot, I think, is the fact that you get to kind of encounter different people every week, or possibly every day, and that's kind of fun, you know. You get to hear viewpoints and kind of thoughts on subjects that from people you'd never knew existed, you would have never thought to ask them for their opinion, and there is. It's in your pod catcher, and you get to hear it, and you get to hear about a completely different thing, and that's just cool to me. I like that. I really think that has its own appeal. I mean, sometimes a podcast has an appeal because you get to know the hosts, you like the way that they talk to each other, you like their chemistry, you feel comfortable with a certain host. But HPR, if you're a little bit adventurous, you get to sample all kinds of different ideas, and it's fun for that, I think.
Definitely one of the more interesting ones that I heard was a couple of Mexican guys. I think one of them lived in California, and one of them was teaching kids in Mexico, and they were talking about how they didn't have doors on their schoolhouse in Mexico where he's helping these kids and trying to get connectivity, and how they're going to record a show next time because of that. It's pretty interesting just hearing those guys talk and what they're problems were and how they solved them.
Those were actually the people who I was really actually thinking about when I said that, because yeah, I remember those two guys. I think wasn't their show, they called themselves, like, I forget what they called themselves. It was pretty funny though. I think I know, but I don't want to say it because I think if I'm wrong I'd get in trouble. So but yeah, they were really funny, they were good, and I think they had like two episodes maybe, and then they were kind of gone. But I mean, it was
yeah,
just
it was
so
a really
good
non-PC name to it too.
That's what I thought. Okay. I think I do know what it is then. But again, I'm not going to say it because if I'm wrong, then I'm going to sound really bad. But yeah, they were great. And there are so many other people like them that just they come in and you're like, oh, cool, someone totally different and cool and funny. And then you never hear from them again. And yeah, it's kind of sad because you're like, but I wanted more. But on the other hand, that's kind of the beauty of it. You know, I mean, that's life, right? These passing ships and, you know, you get to meet people and you leave and it was beautiful for the moment and then it's gone.
So what about the homemade hooch episode someone did?
The what?
There was a moonshine would be the word, I think.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
Where they're like, find a dead rat, just toss his head inside it, and it'll give the bacteria a kickstart.
That was so funny. Oh my gosh, it was horrible.
I don't think there was anything, and just to clarify, you know, don't try anything from that episode, you will most likely catch something, but it was an amusing episode, though.
Well,
wasn't it Mountain Dew? Go ahead.
And some recent episodes you really have to look at that have been just really eye-opening for a lot of people, I'm sure, was Sigmund's recent episodes.
Yeah, everything she does is great. I love all of her stuff.
Yeah, she does some cool stuff. And it's different as well. It's not just the kind of, you know, here's how to install this or do that sort of thing. It's always a little different, little out there, and always very interesting.
Well, I was talking specifically her two episodes where they were voicemails from her stay in a psych ward of the hospital, if I've got the right term.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, those were really powerful episodes.
Yeah, when she was talking about the one... I listened to that... hang on, trying to remember, think which one it was, but I listened to one of them recently, and she was talking about... She had an interview with one guy there, and she was talking having been diagnosed with this, and you're on that, and... I don't know, does anyone else just want to give her a big hug?
Yeah, I think everyone does. I had a couple of emails with people like, what could we do for her? And it's like, I don't know, what can you do? Send best wishes? I mean, it all seems so shallow, but it's just really...
Big hug, a giant pile of code, and just, well, you know, hope she keeps doing what she does. She's one of, to me, she's one of my favorite contributors to HPR. Always very interesting, very insightful, entertaining, to say the least.
Given the episode, I think she'd appreciate some hardware to hack and keep her mind busy.
And of course, spare Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, really.
Exactly.
Not that I mean to sound like cheap, but Raspberry Pis are new.
They're so cool.
Yeah, I think so. But there's just sort of, it's something that's not, it's fairly cheap. You can get several of them and just like send them over there and not have to worry too much if, you know, one got damaged on the way.
I actually referenced that episode to a friend of mine whose daughter had to be checked in, and I think that helped him a bit. I think we need a new slogan for HPR, Hacker Public Radio, we're real people.
Yeah, really.
Well, it kind of floored me because I thought she was one of the more together people on the network, that the way she could explain the demo scene and hacking the old 8-bit machines. And, of course, I understand that the one has nothing to do with the other, but her episodes were always some of the ones where I'm just thinking, well, I wish I could accomplish that.
Well, I mean, I think she's together. She just happens to have a mental condition that is difficult to deal with. But personally, I mean, she's fantastic.
In some ways, as wonderful of a contributor as Sigflup is, I have to wonder if her and people like her actually scare some people off sometimes just by, you know, accidentally intimidating them with how just fantastic these people are. And some people feel like what they have to contribute is just not going to measure up. And I would have to say you're completely wrong with that if you're listening. You know, I would actually love to pose a challenge out there to the HPR audience. If you haven't contributed at all this year, contribute one episode. And for me, myself personally, because so many things have gone wrong for me in the past, I'm going to actually set a goal for myself that before December 24th this year, I'm going to try to compute 10 episodes.
I see in the chat that Claw2 has to leave, so before you do, Claw2, you want to tell folks where they can find you?
Sure. GNUWorldOrder.info online. You can always find me in IRC as well, irc.freenode.net, in the channels Oddcast Planet or Slackware or a couple of others. Jabber, not Claw2, at jabber.org. That's about it. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks for coming.
And thank your magnificent audio quality, Claw2, for me not being able to hear a word you say.
Take it easy, Claw2.
Yeah.
How can you rebuttal if he can't hear you?
And there he goes.
Yeah, and Jay Rulo mentioned in the chat the dial-in numbers. So if you're going to meet Lord Drakenblut's challenge and send in the show, like I said, if you need the FTP server information, send an email to admin@hackerpublicradio.org, or pick up your phone, and if you're in the U.S., you can call 206-203-5729, or if you're in the U.K., you can dial 203-432-5879 and just start talking.
Why does that sound like it's missing a digit or two? The UK number?
Well, if you're in the UK, you wouldn't have to dial the number first. I mean, like, it's one here for the US. I'm not familiar what it is for the UK, but didn't I say 203-432-5?
Yeah, but in the UK, the you have local numbers, and then if you want to dial, it's like in the US, you dial a 1 and then the number to go outside of your local area. So if you want to dial interstate sort of thing, you hit a 1 to dial outside from your area. In the UK, you hit a 0. So that, I'm just looking at that, and that doesn't look like it's got enough numbers. So it should be at least 02, if nothing else.
Okay, well, I think that's just a cultural convention, because over here, when it's a long distance number,
they don't
just
mention
usually
the ones.
We assume, yeah. Yes, we assume the one.
Yeah, in the UK, for some reason, they always say it's, which, if you ever had seen the IT crowd things, it's, you know, if the new number is 0800 911, blah, 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 whatever, continues for ages. But yeah, we'll have to check that, but it would start with a 0.
And that would be a point for folks outside either the United States or the United Kingdom. Of course, if you still want to dial into that number, international charges will apply, even over Skype, at a much reduced rate, as I understand. But it would be call U.S. number be 1206, etc., and the U.K. number 0203.
And what's the, was it 44, plus 44 is the international dialing code for the UK, and I can't remember the US one, is it just 1?
Okay, I'd made that assumption since you said it was 0 inside the UK, that it would be 0 to call a UK number from the outside. Yeah, and as I understand it, if you're calling into United States from outside the United States, it's, you just start with the 1, just like we would here.
No, it depends on the country. In the UK, for example, if you want to do international calls, it's 00. From Australia, it's something like 00114. No, 0011, I think, for international. So when I was in Australia and I had to phone England, I had to do 001144 for 0011 to phone international, and then 44, which is the international dialing code for the UK. And then, even more confusing, you drop the initial 0 on the phone number, so it would then be 203 blah blah blah, and you don't have the 0 there. So I think the short answer is you need to look it up for wherever you are in whichever country, because the rules just suck for this. There's no standard.
Okay, obviously, I've never attempted to make an international call. That put me in mind, and it's completely non sequitur, of some of the old promotional materials from when my grandfather owned a rural filling station, and you look at them and say, well, wow, that's not enough numbers. I think it was like 2 digits.
Yeah, it's just, some of these things are weird, that because each... We keep thinking of ourselves as a global community and a global network thing, but each, you know, British Telecom set up the stuff in the UK, and then Barbella, whoever it was, in the US. And so you have, however they decided to set it up, they did it, and then they've tried to bolt it together so it sort of works internationally now, so you can make phone calls from one to the other, but you're still going on multiple different networks, and there are some odd things. But we need to hassle someone from the UK or nearby who can dial the number and figure out what number it is and how to do that.
Now, you know, that sounds like a podcast somebody could do.
Yeah, you can phone up one of the numbers and tell us how you dialed into it. How about that? You just need to make it more than, like, 5 minutes long.
Well, that's definitely an idea. We've been trying to encourage even more international participation from sort of the areas, Asian, etc., that we don't normally hear from. And on top of that, now, I understand you can call Skype to Skype internationally, of course, or any SIP phone, but if somebody is at, I'm sure somebody out there maybe listening have had that problem of looking for the cheapest way to call home through an international phone system. So if somebody has some little tweaks out there to either do a no cost call to a plain old telephone service, I think that would be a great and very interesting podcast. If somebody's got their trick for the cheapest way or a free way to do it.
Well, of course, there's always things like Mumble, but you've got to start recording that. So I don't know if you could do something there or not.
Well, no, that's what I meant. Of course, we have various VoIP solutions, but I'm talking about going from VoIP to a regular phone, because a lot of places where they'd call home, they might not have the internet service, but they would have the phone.
Yeah, I do not know. I have been fortunate to be in places where they have got at least semi-decent internet access.
Okay, I don't know. If somebody has something else, I think we have come to the point where folks are probably going to need to get to bed in Soak's case, or get to their dinner, or whatever they need to do.
It's 3:30 in the afternoon here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking you were in Britain, but you must be on this side of the pond.
Yes, I was born in the UK and lived there for many years, but I now live in Nevada. So yes, I am this side of the pond.
Oh, I should have remembered that. I mean, it was obvious that Mrs. Zoak wasn't from Europe, but I thought you were both over on the other side. But no, I should have remembered that. Now that you mentioned. I knew that.
It's okay. It's a little confusing anyway, because you hear the accents and, you know, you make assumptions, and this goes back to the whole, you know, you don't know much about people unless they decide to tell you that, you know, unless I said, oh yeah, I'm in Nevada, you might figure out from that I, you know, spend too much time on the internet at odd hours in the UK, but, you know, unless I said that, you wouldn't know.
Well, and another reason we scheduled it like we did was so that Ken Fallon and Phoenix could participate. Unfortunately, neither one of them was able to be here today with us. And it kind of worked. It's probably the perfect time of day for me, so that was the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to find someone can't make it because of the time, though, whenever you do it.
Well, I just want to thank everybody for participating. We still have Jay Rulo and Will Jason and Mr. and Mrs. Zoak on a call, and the Paranoid Shell, who chimed in a couple times. He's muted now, but I want to thank him as well. And Lord D, who came in, and of course Claw 2. Did I forget anybody?
Not that I can remember. I was just trying to get through the list myself, and I think you got everyone.
Thank you for trying to get in.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's end up by going around the room and telling everybody where they can find us if you want to, and what projects, you know, podcasts, if you're involved in ones other than HPR. I'm 5150. You can find my contact information on my website. It's the Big Red Switch at DrupalGardens.com. And my email address is 5150@linuxbasement.com, and they were just kind enough to give me that address. I like to say every time that I don't have an affiliation with Linux Basement, so you can't blame them for my activities.
And you can find me at zoak.org, that's X-ray Oscar Kilo Echo, Oscar Romeo Golf, You should have most of my contact information there. You can email me at zergsorrow@gmail.com, X-ray Oscar Kilo Echo Sierra Oscar Romeo Uniform at gmail.com. That's also on the HPR website. We've got the Zerg forums at forums.zerg.org. Honey, am I missing anything?
I don't think so.
All right, well, that's about it. That's how you can contact me.
Okay, Jay Rulo, where can people find you?
Probably just the Linux Basics forums. Jay Rulo or Jonas R, I can't remember which.
I believe you're Jonas R on the Linux Basics forum, but yeah, Jonas is a regular contributor on the Linux Basics podcast, so that's another one that you need to listen to. Might even hear me once in a while on there.
I know, I've been on it.
Now, see, you were supposed to be muted.
I changed my mind. Jeez.
Okay, Paranoid Shell, where can people find you other than Linux Basics?
aparanoidshell@gmail.com. No one really talks to me there as of yet, so please email, but it might be a while before I get back to you. Because I don't have many at the moment, I don't check as much.
Well, I'll send you one this evening so you'll have my address and we can get together on me picking up complete recordings since my system dropped me in the middle. And that leaves Will Jason. Where can people catch up to you?
You can reach me at willjason@gmail.com, and it's willjason, and same handle for Twitter, Facebook, or whatever's current.
Okay, well, unless somebody has an additional comment to insert, I think we're going to call it a show. This has been episode 1024.
That's 2 to the power of 10.
Right. I think if you're listening to the show, you know the significance of 1024 in the digital world, I should hope. Unless you're a hard drive manufacturer where you...
you count it as 1,000. Yes.
Well, see, that was probably the best decision they ever made because it was only a slight variation when we were talking 30 meg hard drives, but when you get into terabytes, they're saving themselves that error compounded time and time and time over.
Otherwise known as, why does my 1 terabyte hard drive only actually have 950 gig or something in it?
Right, well, this is 5150, it's episode 1024, and the other significance of that is I no longer have an excuse to not put up my own individual HPR podcast. I'll have to get on that, like I mentioned before. That's towards the end of last year, this whole thing came about. I put something in the message board that hey, are we going to do anything for the 1,000th episode? And it was actually Stank's idea. Well, maybe we should do it on 1024, and then we had some varying ideas about what we wanted to do for the episode, and then we came up with the call-in congratulations for the 1,000 and today's panel, which I've really enjoyed participating in. Like I said, since I'm a relative newcomer to HPR, and I want to thank everybody again who was here today. Well, looking for a way to finish up, and I should finish up by saying I'm sure everybody is tired of hearing me talk right now. So thanks again, everybody, and we're gonna shoot for 2600.
Was that someone falling asleep because they're bored of you talking?
Yeah, I do tend to go on, especially when I don't have anything to say.
You and me both. Take it easy, everyone. Sayonara. Auf Wiedersehen.
Take care, everyone. See you, everybody.
Catch you on the flip side.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.